My brothers and sisters in Christ, it is good to be here on this morning, for this is the day the Lord has made, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. We celebrate God because He's been so good to all of us. And on this Sunday, as we turn our attention to His Word, just before we look, I'll be in the Gospel of Mark, by the way. Just before we dive into our message for the morning, I want to encourage you that if you are a leader of a ministry, a life group, if you're part of our hospitality team, I want to invite you to our leadership summit. Many of you have registered. In fact, if you desire to be a leader in this coming fall, I want to invite you to come to our Champions Campus at 4:30 for our leadership summit, where you're going to get all the information you need to serve in the best way as God uses you in this upcoming fall season. Also, next Sunday, we're going to be beginning a new series. So make sure you share with your friends and share with your colleagues that we're going to be leading a series from probably what, Sonia, is the most practical book in the Bible, the book of James. And we'll be in the book of James all the way till Thanksgiving. You don't want to miss this time in our series. We're looking forward to it, that God's going to do something mighty among us as we give our hearts and souls to all that He desires for us to be. Well, I want to invite your attention to join me in the Gospel of Mark. In the Gospel of Mark, particularly the second chapter. Our message for the morning is coming from Mark, the second chapter. This may be a familiar passage to some of you, and it's coming off the heels of Christ's ministry and preaching along the Sea of Galilee, and now He's returning to His home site. If you're there in Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, you'll see words similar to these. And when He returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that Jesus was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And Jesus was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to Him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near Him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above Him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like this? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately, Jesus, perceiving in His spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Said, "We never saw anything like this." With the help of the Holy Spirit, on this Sunday morning, I want to impress upon your heart that we believers must do whatever it takes to get people to Jesus. We must do whatever it takes to get people to Jesus. Pray with me. So here we are, Father, in this sacred space once more. By your sovereign grace and your providence, you've allowed us to gather here. And we've come here seeking you. So we do ask, dear God, that you would allow our hearts, our minds to be receptive soil for the seed of your word. That your word will be so implanted in our hearts that our hearts and minds be transformed by your gospel, and that our faith might be seen in our actions, that our lives might glorify you, that we might be able to love you better and love each other more, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Our neighbors, our neighbors to this property, are very special people. I don't know if you may be familiar, but our neighbors are that of the first responders, our fire department, our police department, are our neighbors to this worship property, this worship experience. They're first responders. And as I was making my way, Luke, to the first service in the chapel, I noticed something, that all of a sudden there was a response because the lights came on and the trucks began to deploy. And in that moment, I was reminded, Mama Gwen, that these first responders have a duty. See, their duty is to go where the trouble is while others are fleeing from the trouble. First responders, their goal, their job is to go into places of need and help rescue others that they too might be in safety. First responders, they have the ability, they have the authority to enter into homes where people may be in danger and help them be rescued from that danger. They're first responders. They have authorized entry. They have the duty to act and the right to enter into any space where there may be danger, like fire, harm, or hurt. Just as first responders has the duty to go into places where people may be hurting and rescue them out of those spaces and places, believers, Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, hear me well. We too have a responsibility to be the first responders, the first spiritual responders, to go into places where people are hurting, in dark places where people don't know the Lord, and go into those spaces and rescue them. I got one amen, so I'm going to lean on this side. We are called to do whatever it takes to get people to come to Christ. See, our commitment to Christ is expressed in our willingness to care enough to get everybody we know to know Jesus, to care enough to get them into the presence of Jesus. That's what we see here as we are invited into Jesus' home base, Capernaum, where he would take his respite after many days of ministry. This is a real town. In fact, there's a placard there in Capernaum that says, "This is the town of Jesus." This, if you ever travel to Israel, you'll see right there in the holy city, when you enter Capernaum, they'll remind you, "This indeed is the city of Jesus." It's Capernaum. It's where Jesus would go. And this particular scene, as he enters into the house, which scholars say, surmise that it is Peter's house, or at least his mother-in-law's house, he enters into the house, something happens. Now, if you're ever there, you'll see that the ruins of the house are still there, but built above it now is a synagogue where they have secured the place as sacred space because Jesus was there. I want you to catch this. Because Jesus was in the house. See, if we're going to help anyone and everyone know what it means to be in relationship with Jesus, it's incumbent that we make one thing clear, and that Jesus must be in the house. Check out the text. The text says that Jesus was there in the house, and you know he's in the house because not only is Jesus in the house, but all of the community, when they heard the report that Jesus was there, they made their way to the house. They were there. There was standing room only because somebody had spread the word that Jesus was there. That somebody heard that Jesus was there, and they didn't just keep the message to themselves. No, they're willing to spread the message that the report went out so that everybody who was there were drawn to the fact that Jesus was present. Get this. People were drawn to the house, not by props, not by refreshments, not by comfort. No, we know it wasn't comfortable because the Bible says they were all in the doorway. They were all around, standing around the walls. They were drawn by one factor and one factor alone, and that was because Jesus was in the house. And when you know Jesus is in the house, you want to get close to hear what Jesus has to say. You know, I was there on first service, and I told them, I said, I just wish I would be a fly on the wall. And I said, wait a minute, no, I don't want to be a fly. But I just wish I would have been there, because you know Jesus is in the house because of what is taking place in the house. Not only are people drawn to Jesus, but angel, check it out. It says that Jesus, while being in the house with others who gathered and there was no room there, that he was preaching the word to them. And if you study Mark, everywhere you go, you see that Jesus was preaching the word. Come here. One of the reasons why you know that Christ is in the house is when the word of God is being preached in the house. The way you know that Christ is in the house is when it's not about personality, it's not about celebrity. The only one that we focus on is Jesus Christ. You know when Jesus is in the house is when his word is supreme. And when you come in, you're crying out unto Jesus. We're singing unto Jesus. You know when Jesus is in the house, when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, you know Jesus is in the house. But before Jesus fills this house, it's important for Jesus to fill this house. You see, the text says that while he was there preaching and drawing, for he said in John 12:32, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. While they were being drawn, the text tells us about four believers. It's right there. We know that they're believers if you check out their actions, because not only does their words, they don't speak in this text, but their words are not the only thing that professes that they're believers. Their lifestyle, their choices have demonstrated they're believers. Check it out. Because the text says that those four men went and found their friend, I believe they're their friend based upon their actions, their friend who happened to be a paralytic. And those four men brought him to Jesus. Okay, did you see it there? I mean, Wileen, it's really right there if you pay attention to it. Because in order for them to be able to bring him to Jesus, they had to know where Jesus was. Come here. Maybe that's why some of us shy away from telling others how to get to Jesus, because we may not know where he is. But when you're in relationship with Christ Jesus, when the Holy Spirit of God is resident in your life, then you know how to get in touch with Jesus. And you can help others get in touch with him too. That's really what they did. You have four friends here, and they didn't just stay in the worship environment. They didn't just stay in the house, but rather they knew somebody else who should have been in the house with them. And get it, they left from where they were to go get someone who didn't have the ability to get to the house, and they brought them to the house. Am I talking to anybody up in here? You ought not leave folk in your house when you come into this house. I shouldn't meddle like that, huh? You ought not just pass people up when you're on your way to worship God, because sometimes, Drew, God has sent you on assignment to help carry others that they too might have an encounter with Jesus Christ. When you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, it changes your life. It transforms your life. Everybody who has an encounter with Jesus, their lives had never been the same. So here, do you see the scene? They're carrying this paralytic man who was far from Jesus, and yet they're carrying him. I want you to catch this for a moment. They're carrying a man who can't help himself get to Jesus. They're holding his weight. That's a burden for them to carry, but they don't stop carrying him. It may be hard for them to get him to Jesus, but note they are intentionally pursuing their plan to get their friend closer to Jesus. How many of us are that committed to getting those we love in relationship with Jesus? Or do we give up just because it gets hard? Because they don't want to receive the message that we have to give them. And so we say, well, I told them. I did my responsibility. I told them. They already know. And yet these four brothers in the text, these believers in the text, were willing to do whatever it took to get this man to Jesus. So they're carrying him. They're carrying him. And as soon as they get to the house, there's a problem. There's a problem in the house. There's a problem because they couldn't approach Jesus about their friend because the crowd was blocking them. There were those who were hearing the message, but blocking access for others to hear the message. They weren't letting him through. Scott, I was thinking about this just the other day. I went shopping, but you know, my wife knows. When I shop, I like to shop for one thing. I mean, thank you, girl. Thank you. I'm a one thing shopper. I don't care what's on the aisles. If I went there to get one thing, then that's what I'm going to get. I went in there to get one thing. That was the only thing on the list. I wasn't gonna check the list again because sometimes stuff be added to the list. So when she texts that one thing, I was gonna get that one thing. I went in there. I was ready. I got that one thing, Drew, and then I got to the line. I got to that line that says 10 items or less. And I realized that somebody in front of me had 50 items. And I'm looking at them, and I'm just thinking, you know, I'm kind of leaning to the side. I got one item. You would think that they would let me. No, you think they'd let me get in front of them, right? But no, I had to watch them as they counted out those 50 items. And I thought that woman was going to stop at 10, and she kept going, 11 and 12. And I'm looking like all I had was one item, and she wouldn't let me go. I wonder sometimes, that is it that we've gotten so gluttonous with our gospel that we are blocking other people from experiencing the gospel because we're not willing to let them in? And yet, even though they would not, the crowd would not allow them to get their friend to Jesus, they didn't stop their commitment to try to get their friend to Jesus. No, I'm still in text. Because one, they're trying to get their friend to Jesus. They already made sure that Jesus was in the house. And now they're doing all that they can do to get their friend in the house. Now, when you heard the text, and the text says that they began to ascend the roof. Because in this day, the roofs were, in terms of topography, the roofs were flat roofs. These were flat roofs, kind of like the construction of our decks today, right? These are flat roofs, and oftentimes, if they wanted to be cool, sleep in the coolness of the night, they would go up on the roof. Or if they want to entertain friends, they would go up on the roof. These were flat roofs. And so there was always a ladder fixed to the house. And these four friends, not giving up, trying to get their friend to Jesus, knowing that only Jesus could do something about his condition, decided to climb on the roof. Okay, you're not looking at me like you're not catching this just yet, right? Because they felt the weight when they were carrying him, but now they have to feel the weight of carrying him, ascending a roof with him. And get this, this shows us that we are to be more committed. That's right. We are to be more committed to getting people to Christ that we don't give up on our efforts to help them know the Christ that we know. Think about where your life would be if somebody gave up the effort on you. But God used somebody to get you to Christ. So then it's incumbent upon you. Did God get somebody to get you to Christ? Oh, okay, I'm just checking. Then it's incumbent upon you then to do the same for another. And notice they climbed the roof. And again, you saw in the picture, they said that this is St. Peter's house. Hold that in your back pocket for a moment. This Peter's house. They climbed the roof, and they began to do demolition at Peter's house. Oh, you're not with me just yet here. This is not Andrew's house. No, this is not Bartholomew's house. No, this is Peter. Now, you know a little something about Peter, don't you? Because Peter had a propensity that even though he was saved, he'd cuss you out every now and then. I got to watch who I'm looking at, just in case you think I'm thinking about you. You got to watch Peter, because Peter had a license to carry, and he was known to do some slicing whenever that time came. They broke into Peter's house. But God's in the house. And when God's in the house, no one seems to be concerned about the demolition that's happening above the house. I hope you catch this here. That they're digging because they're not giving up. And it shows us what we must do when we can't get through is that we continue to dig until we get to where we're trying to get to. I hope you caught that. That they're digging in the roof. And the Bible says, Peggy, they made a hole in the ceiling. And while they made a hole in the ceiling, it's not just a hole. Because really, when you look at the original text, Tabitha, check out what it says. It said they unroofed the roof. They didn't check with the HOA. No, because they had a priority. They had a priority. And their priority was, we got to get our friend to Jesus. And so many of us, if we're honest about it, we have some friends who haven't gotten to Jesus yet. If we're honest about it, God has placed you in their lives because God's placed you there so that you might be the light in their lives to lead them to Jesus. Not just invite them to church, but to lead them to Jesus. Not just invite them to life group, but to lead them to Jesus. That they ought to see Jesus in you, that it will allow them to see Jesus clearly so they themselves will want to know Jesus for themselves. Oh, look at Jesus. They're so drawn. They're tearing up the roof. Got this big gaping hole now. And now they're luring him to the feet of Jesus. These fellas were committed to getting someone who was in need of Jesus, getting them to Jesus. I wonder, it's quite possible that those four who carried him, they had problems too. But they weren't so inundated with their own personal problems that they would overlook that their friend's problem was greater than theirs. And so they're descending him. And you heard the story. They're descending him to Jesus. And look at this. The Bible says in verse 5, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. When Jesus saw their faith, and not heard about it, but their faith was demonstrated in their actions. Because the one thing for us to say we believe God, the one thing for us to say we love God, but Christ said that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Come here. Because he told all of us, as he resurrected from the grave and all authority and power was given unto him, he said to us, the believers, he said, go therefore, go, as you go, make disciples. He didn't say that it was a suggestion. He didn't say that it was an option. No, it is a requirement of the believer that if you are a disciple of Christ, then you, as a disciple of Christ, are making disciples for Christ. Maybe you ought to adopt the seat that's next to you and say, as God leads me, I'm going to lead somebody to get in this seat. Now, why is it getting quiet already? And yet, they got him to the feet of Jesus. And when they got him to the feet of Jesus, Jesus dealt with his greatest need. Look at text. See, before he spoke to his physical healing, he took care of his spiritual problem. He said, son, I love this text. He said, son, because anytime you have faith in God, you become a part of the family of God, and Christ calls him son. And he says, your sins are forgiven. What is demonstrated here? That these believers fully depended upon God for their friend's deliverance. They fully depended on God. They couldn't do it for themselves, but Doug, they knew that they could get their friend to the feet of Jesus. And there are those in the crowd that don't always understand when Jesus does what Jesus does. And so they're watching and they're taking notes. Did you see it in text? Because they said, now, who is this man that he is forgiving sins? Only God can forgive sins. These haters didn't realize how right they were. But they didn't realize also that they were staring at God in the flesh. And Jesus says, to help you understand who I really am, he says, I'm going to forgive his sins so that you know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. And then he said, and I'm going to demonstrate it in my actions. He says, man, get up and get your mat and walk. And when God transformed his life in the midst of all those who are watching and spectating and questioning, you sure you won't give me that, man? I start preaching when I got a handheld. I mean, you sure you want to give me this?
But check it out, right? So he tells them to get up and walk, but check it, don't miss it, because you see the authority of Christ right there in the text. But the authority of Christ is he read their hearts. See, not only does he show that he is the supreme being by forgiving sins, but don't miss it, he's also omniscient. He knows what's going on in your heart. Yeah, when you gather in this space, some of us can gather in this space, but our hearts aren't right. We have all things on our minds and except Christ. And Christ is saying, I have the authority. What's the point? The point is that when we're willing to do what God has commanded and called us to do, then God transforms lives to help other lives see about his transforming power. I'm right there in the text. But the text says that all of them were amazed. And Scott, not only were they amazed, but they said, we've never seen anything like this before. I love this text because if you're honest about it, has God transformed anybody's life in here? Has God ever transformed anybody's life in this place? And when we gather in worship, others ought to see your life and they ought to say, you ought to tell them about your life so they can say, you know what? I never knew that God can do the things he could do, but I see it now in your life. Boy, they shouldn't have given me this handheld. I'm trying to hold on here. And so listen, brothers and sisters. God is calling us, those of us who believe in him, to bring others closer to Jesus. Bring them closer to Jesus. Bring. B-R-I-N-G. Bring. Bring them closer to Jesus. B. Believe God can. I'm in the text. Because in Matthew 19, when the disciples heard what Jesus was preaching and teaching, they said, well, then who can be saved? Jesus says, and he looked at him, he says, with man, it is impossible. This is what you got to believe God for. But with God, all things are possible. That's why you ought not give up on people just because they haven't come just yet. You ought not give up on them because God never gave up on you. And if God didn't give up on you, then who are you to give up on anybody else? No, just like God saved you, God can save them too. And so you ought to believe God for them. Even if they don't believe God for them, you ought to believe God for them. But not only ought to believe God, or you ought to reach out. You ought to reach out. You ought to invest and connect to others. That's what Christ said when he was ascending. He looked at those who followed him in Acts 1 and 8, and he said, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and to the othermost parts of the earth. Christ says, I'm making you. When you are a follower of Christ, he makes you his witness by the indwelling Holy Spirit in your life, and you're supposed to show off God everywhere you go. So you ought to reach out. Don't just keep it to yourself. This might be a little hard for some of you. You ought to introduce yourself. Now I see you. You're like, well, I did introduce myself. I told them my name, told them where I work, told them how many kids I have. I did introduce myself. No. I mean, you ought to introduce yourself. And when you introduce yourself, you tell them about what Christ has done for you and how he's transformed your life. You ought to tell somebody your confession. That's why I like Paul. Because every time Paul spoke to people, he said, listen, I was a persecutor of the church. And then I met Jesus on a road called Straight, and he transformed my life. And if Jesus really transformed your life, if Jesus really saved your life, he saved you from something. And sometimes we got to remember what he saved us from and help the younger generation know that, you know what, I was just like you, going in the same direction as you, but then Jesus came and he transformed. Have he transformed anybody's life in here? That you can look back and say, you know what? I wasn't always perfect. I wasn't always in the church. And yet Jesus came in my life. Let me let you go. You have to introduce yourself. But when you introduce yourself, you ought to notice the needs. Don't ignore the needs that are around us. Not only physical needs, but spiritual needs that are everywhere. Because we're living in a world that's on fire. They're on fire by sin and cultural depravity. And God is saying, you're the first responders. I've put in you the power to go into the dark places to shine a light. But you must be willing to see the need. And G, get them to Jesus. That's really it. That you get them to Jesus. That's what we're called to do. Listen, when I was growing up in church, I think I did all my sinning in church, but yeah, I was growing up in church, and And then Christ really transformed my life. I remember the songs they used to sing. And one of those songs they sung was, I'm going to let my little light shine. Boy, if I had some time. They say, I'm going to let my, everywhere I go, I'm going to let my, am I the only one that grew up in old school church? Let my little light shine in my neighbor's home. I'm going to let my little light shine. Then you get happy with it. He said, shine, shine, shine. I'm going to let my little light shine. Then you add words to it. In the church house, I'm going to let my little light shine. In the courthouse, I'm going to let my, you catching it just yet? In the schoolhouse, I'm going to let my little light shine. Shine, shine, shine. Well, listen to me, brothers and sisters. I'm not going to sing it to you, but you ought to live it in your life. That if God has transformed your life, you ought to use your testimony about your life to help God transform someone else's life by letting your light shine. Yeah. But in order for you to have a light that shines, you got to make sure that Jesus is in the house. That means you have a relationship with Jesus. The question I want to ask of you, is he in your house? Is Christ sitting on the throne of your life? Have you said yes to him and accepted his word and watched how his word was able to transform your life? See, you have to decide who you are in this text. It could be the paralytic who's laying on a mat, who needs to be forgiven of his sins. Listen, all of us have been there. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So you're not by yourself in that. But when God forgives your sins, he lifts the burden of guilt and he sets you free. He lifts the bondage of sin and he draws you into belonging to him, that you will be his son and his daughter. But you got to be willing, since you're here, to say yes to him. Or it could be that God is calling you to be one of the four who he wants to use to carry someone to know him. And so we must ask forgiveness for all the times we passed those friends up, all the times we stopped inviting them, all the times we stopped sharing with them. Perhaps we need to ask God's forgiveness. Or maybe you're in the house and you've gotten all the teaching and the gospel, and yet you haven't applied it by going out of the house to make room for others to come in the house. I want to invite you to bow your heads all over the building. As much as Christ has done for us, we should express our gratitude in living for him. And as you've bowed your heads, Father, you see us in this space. And as we've come to you, we thank you so much for your word. Your word speaking to our hearts and our minds. And there are some of us who are like the man that was laying, that needs to hear your forgiveness of our lives. There are others of us, we're honest. There are times we gave up on someone. We gave up on that loved one. We gave up on that neighbor, that coworker, that classmate. We gave up on them. Forgive us, because you've never given up on us. Give us fresh eyes to be sensitive to the needs of others, that we may all be first responders, going out into dangerous places to draw others closer to you. And in this moment, as your spirit is working, we ask that you draw that person who doesn't have a relationship with you into relationship with you. Person who is far from you, who gave up on you, that you would draw them now, that they too can be closer to you, that they will experience your forgiveness and the healing that comes from your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforce.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.